may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So I was once on playground duty, recess duty, when I came upon a little boy named Quinn, and I knew Quinn. He was then one of, I was giving him special services, and Quinn was just standing there, just frozen on the playground, and I asked him what was going on, and he said he didn't know what to do, because he'd been playing with this group of boys, and this group of boys had been playing, and a little girl had come up and wanted to play with them, and they told her she couldn't, and they made fun of her, and she had gone off kind of crying and sad, and Quinn didn't know what to do, because he said, what I really want to do is go play with my friends, but I think what the right thing to do is to go on the swings and play with the little girl. I stood there amazed. Amazed at this little boy and that he would even be thinking about this, right? I think like usually, right, he'd just go off and play with his friends, but he was really troubled. What should I do? But what happened to him is instead of being able to do anything then, he just stood there, not sure of what to do. How often do we find ourselves in similar situations? We know we want to do one thing, we probably should do the other, and somehow we get stuck in the middle. This is, I think, a little bit where the people of Israel are in our story from today. 1 Kings, which Stephanie read so well, it was like we were in story time. It was so great. But this is another, it's a difficult kind of story. It's some of my colleagues, it's their favorite story. I kind of don't like it because it's this, like, my God is bigger than your God sort of match in which Elijah the prophet challenges Baal, this other god, to a match. Who can make fire come down onto the altar from heaven? But he does it because the people at the time, the Israelites, had been worshiping Baal. This had happened years and years prior. The kingdoms had split, and they had built these golden calves, and they were worshiping them. And then the king Ahab at the time married this woman Jezebel, who, poor Jezebel, do people still say that? My grandma used to call women Jezebels, right? And I don't know if people still do that, but her name is still being used. But she was a Persian who married Ahab, and when they married, she brought in her gods. And so people were worshiping all of these different gods. And one by one, Jezebel was having the prophets of Israel killed. And so soon there were all these prophets of Baal and other gods, and there was basically just Elijah left as the prophet of Israel. And he comes to the people, there's this drought in the land, they need rain, and he comes to the people, and he's like, okay, here we go. We're going to see whose God is really better. And he says to the people, I love this, how long are you going to go limping around with two opinions? Just make up your mind. If the God of Israel is your God, follow him. If Baal is your God, then follow him. Like, you can't have both here. It's not going to work. And I love the response. It says, the people did not say anything. They didn't know what to do. They just stood there, kind of dumbfounded. And it's no wonder. The people at the time, it was not uncommon that people be worshiping all kinds of gods, including the God of Israel. And now they're being asked to make a choice, and that's hard. Because going against Baal means going against their culture. And following only the God of Israel leaves them with just Elijah. There was one Elijah and 450 priests of Baal. It would make them different. It would make them stand out. It would make them unpopular. And what if they were wrong? This was a hard choice that the people of Israel had to make. But it's one that we have to make over and over and over again, isn't it? If we're honest with ourselves, we worship all kinds of gods. Now, I'm not saying that this is a text about different faiths, because I don't think that's what this is about for us. And I worry a little bit that this text could be used to say only our faith is correct and everybody else is wrong. That's not what this text is about to me. To me, this is about us and the multiple gods we worship. And I started thinking of all the isms we worship.
militarism, nationalism, right? When you start worshiping all of those things, or our ego or our reputation, become more important than God. And when it comes down to it, and we have to make a choice, do we care more about nationalism or our God? Do we care more about consumerism and having the new thing or our God? Which do we choose? And sometimes we do need to make a choice. Will we follow God? Today is All Saints Day, and I love this day. I think one of the things that all of the saints that we canonize, the saints that get the word saint put behind their name and pictures painted of them, one of the things they all have in common is that when asked that question, they said, I know who my God is, and I'm going to follow that God. And I don't care if I'm one in 450, that God is still my God. And so even though all of the people around them, by the way, who in most times and places called themselves Christians, these people really followed God, right? They didn't try to have it all. They didn't say they could do everything. They followed God. So when people in there, those times and places were saying, you know what? I know those people don't have health care. I know they're sick, whatever, but just let them die by the side of the road. Saints were saying, I'm going to take them in. I'm going to give them my clothing. I'm going to build hospitals for them. And in times and places in history, when people were just letting the poor die, well, it's their own fault if they don't have enough to eat. Can't they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps? You've maybe heard that before. The saints were saying, no, 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 no. If I follow God, I'm to take care of people. I need to make sure people have enough to eat. And so even though nobody else is going to give them food, I will give them food. This is what the saints did over and over, by taking care of orphans and the poor, right? The sick and the marginalized. They gave their lives to it. When they were asked which God they worshiped, they knew. But it made them different. Do we want to be different? Do we want to be like Elijah, the one person in 450 who stands up and says, oh, I believe in God, even though the rest of you are worshiping Baal? I'm not so sure we do all the time. Because it does set us apart. And it does make us different. Craig and I recently watched this play. It was up at the Schoolhouse Theater in, I don't know, Salem or wherever that is. Birdies, somewhere up there. It was called The Amish Project. And it was a one-woman show, and it portrayed, she was like eight different characters, but it talked about the shooting in Amish country, now like 10 years ago perhaps, maybe more than that, in which many young Amish girls were killed while they were at school, and then the gunman killed himself. And it chronicled that. And after the play, which was amazing, the woman had a talk back with the audience, and she said, but I don't know if it was in the process or if it was one of the plays, she had an opportunity to sit with some Amish people because they wanted to make sure they were honoring the Amish and not just, like, exploiting them. And she said, as I sat there with them, I realized there was just something different about them. Just something different. And it wasn't their hair, and it wasn't their clothing, right? That's all different, and that's what we can see. There was something that made me slightly uncomfortable. And then she realized it was that they actually followed what they said, right? Like, they believe in forgiveness, and they not only forgave that gunman, I don't know if you remember this, they gave money that they had received from the outpouring of people in the country, they gave money to the gunman's wife, and his children so that they would be okay. And that makes us all slightly uncomfortable. We're like, oh, how could you do that? And she said, just sitting there, I felt uncomfortable. It was just like they were different. Well, that is because they were following Christ. And if we do that too, it might make people say, whoa, wait a minute. They're a little different. Are you ready to be that? I don't know. It's hard. You know, we're all saint and sinner. This is what Martin Luther said. This is why Lutherans don't have an All Saints Day and an All Souls Day. In the Catholic Church, there's an All Saints Day for, like, the uber saints. And then there's an All Souls Day for the rest of us.
capacity for great evil. And the question is, when we're standing there and someone's asking us the question and the situation is staring us in the face, what are we going to do, right? What are we going to tap into, that saint or that sinner? Who's going to come out this time? And my prayer is, even though I know we're going to get it wrong many times, that maybe today, just one more time, I'm going to do the saintly thing. Maybe just one more time, right? Little by little, can I tap into the saint that is there, because it is there in each and every one of you. You are all saints, and you all have the capacity for good. And so my prayer is that you believe so deeply in the faith and the power of God that when you are asked, when you are in those situations, you don't just stand there frozen, because you know what you want to do, but you know what the right thing to do is, and you can't decide between them. Because our God is powerful enough, even when it is scary and hard, to go to those places that are the right thing to do. Though that is not often the easiest thing to do. Right? I once had a friend who said, you can do the right thing or you can do the easy thing. Which is it? Right? It's not always the easy thing to do the right thing. But God will go with you. That's what else we see in our text for today. Our God is a powerful God. When Elijah built this altar, I don't know if you were able to follow it all, but he didn't just put the bowl there. He put water on it. And he didn't just put water on it once. He put water on it three times to make sure everybody knew this God was powerful enough to light the fire even when the wood was soaking wet. This is our God. And when the people of Israel saw it, they lay down on the ground and they said, yes, this is God. This is God indeed. Right? They turned toward God. Our problem is, how often do we get a pyre or an altar with fire raining down? So we say, oh yeah, God's really powerful, right? Maybe we don't want that. That would freak us out, really. But it would give us the point, and we don't get that. So how do we remember the power of God? We have to look. We have to think about things in our own life. And I think on a day like today, we remember the saints. We remember both those people who are written about and we never knew, but also the people in our own lives who showed us what it means to be a saint, who lived in ways of love and peace and understanding, and who God walked with. Because you all know them. And when you think about them, don't you want to be a little bit like them? Don't you want to have just a little bit of what they had? Well, my guess is that what many of them had was a belief in the power of God and a belief in the power of love and goodness. They were able to say, I know who my God is. So we look to those people today. So when we're standing on the playground and there are people on the rear who've been cruel, and there's a little girl who's crying over here, we run to that little girl, knowing that that's what God wants for us in this world, and that God will go with us. That is what it means to be a saint of God. And yes, you're a sinner.